You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
First, that's what we're doing this month, first. You know, first in our tithes, first in all sorts of things. And I was thinking about this, you know, Jeff came and said, you know, going to Tasmania. So yeah, I realise it's on a Sunday. Guess what that means? you know, so these are the kind of things we want to cover, and I said, right, that's the one I want. So started thinking about my topic, and you know, just first in our time. In third year uni, I started activating my chasing after God. Okay, I had grown up as a Christian, but in third year, I got serious about kind of chasing after this thing. My best friend, happened to be Jeff, he'd been born again. You know, I was Anglican, you don't get born again. But he had been born again. Stuff had happened in his world and it was obvious. And I was surrounded by friends who had this thing about their walk with God, which was different to mine. And so I could kind of look at my Christian walk and, look, I don't know if technically if I was a Christian, it really doesn't matter. But what I know is that I looked at myself and it felt weak. You know, it was my walk with God was weak. It was in my head, and most of it, to be honest, was just self-righteous attitudes. You know, that's what it was. I thought I was better than other people. I thought the things I knew were right, and there was no compassion in it. It was just a self-righteous religious Christianity. But as I watched other people who actually lived their faith rather than preached it, it kind of got me wondering and questioning and chasing after more. And so I started reading. You know, I read books that were fed to me. I read A.W. Tozer, Pursuit of God. You know, old books. I read Andrew Murray's Abide with Christ. I read the story of Keith Green, No Compromise. I played the music to the boys the other night. I thought, oh, let's get this out. And they just go, what is this stuff? But it's just so good. Like the words are amazing. And, you know, if you can get over the Billy Joel style, the words are fantastic. And, you know, I read Oswald Chambers, you know, My Utmost for His Highest. Again, once you get over the language, I know they have updated the language, but I think mine, no, I don't, they weren't these and theirs, but you can get it with these and theirs if you want. But I fed myself with things, so, you know, other people chasing after stuff. And as I read these things, there's a common thread that comes through them. And that thread is that it's first, basically, that Jesus was first in these people, in their lives, in what they did. And their desire for Jesus to be first was then sown into my heart by reading their experiences, their chasing, their searching, that desire and chasing and searching started to be sown into my own heart. And so my own religious concepts of church and Sunday and occasional Bible study and things like that, you know, they started to shift to just, you know, being confined. And I actually found my desire to spend God each day, you know, increased. And so through that process and, you know, just the love and prayers of many friends and the persistence of friends, I also could say I was born again. And Jesus truly did become Lord of my life, you know, in that time. That was beginning of fourth year uni. But, you know, over the years, this battle to keep Jesus first is really tough. And over the 20 years that Jeff and I have been married, our family motto has become Matthew 6:33. And I think it's on the screen. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and He will give you everything you need. Like, seek first the kingdom of God. And that that's kind of, we tried to sow that into our family, to live our family by that. And through that, we've also discovered a few keys to keeping God first on track. And that one of those keys is time, which I'm speaking about this morning. Because to make Jesus first over your time is a great way of seeking first the kingdom of God. But what does that mean? Like how, what does that mean to actually have Jesus first in your time? And what I came down to was two things. Don't let ordinary or pressing, urgent matters get in the way of seeking God first. Like don't let those two things get in the way of God first in your time. And there's a few examples we can see of that. But, you know, what is ordinary? Well, ordinary is most of our lives. Pretty ordinary. You know, life can be pretty ordinary. And there was someone who was in the middle of a very ordinary day, Moses. He was very ordinary going about life for his father-in-law. He was in the middle of the desert looking after the sheep. And that ordinary can be very boring. I cannot imagine looking after sheep all day in the desert is particularly exciting. There's responsibilities to be done, but they're mundane and they repeat. But it's very easy to get consumed by that. It's easy to get caught up in just those everyday needs of the sheep or the children, whatever it happens to be, the work colleagues, the deadline. It can be relentless in that. And I think we all have been through stages where just the mundane, the ordinary has just been just enough to drive us nuts. Now, if you're a routine person, sometimes the ordinary can be great. And throwing one thing into that routine, which is out of the ordinary, can cause chaos and is to be completely avoided. And so some part of us is secure in the ordinary. Even if we're not necessarily routine people, we can be secure in that. But on this particular day, Moses chose to do something different. He actually chose to step aside from his the ordinary needs of his sheep and he was drawn into the presence of God. We read in Exodus chapter 3. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep in the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed because the bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. Amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over and see this. And when the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, God told him. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. You know, Moses is just wandering along and there's a bush burning, okay? Now, we might think, of course he's going to go and have a look. But can I ask you, you know, how many times do you look at something amazing that God's put in your path? Do you stop and look at the rainbow? When it's there? Did you see this moonrise last night? It was amazing. Like there's so many things that in our world, there is amazing stuff to break us out of the ordinary. But do we stop and do we consider it? Moses, you know, God wanted Moses' attention and so he did something amazing to step him out of that ordinary. And these are all moments that we also could choose to step aside from our ordinary And we can choose to put God first in those moments. You know, it might be that sunrise that breaks through the clouds. It may be a quiet corner of the house before kids get up. It might be, you know, the solitude of an evening. There's so many places that we can look at it and we go, that's special. Like God has allowed us to, that's a moment that we can step aside out of our ordinary and we can meet with God. God told Moses, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. When Moses stepped up out of his ordinary, God's presence was there, and Moses needed to prepare himself to meet God. We need to do the same. Like, it's not something to rush. It may only take 5 minutes in a way, but we need to prepare our hearts in order to do that. We need to take off our sandals too, you know. Sandals, you know, the grubby attitude that we might have. Is there bitterness that we have? Is there anything in our heart that is bitter or unforgiving? Like, we can't bring that to God. God is holy. We cannot bring that to him. We need to set that aside. We need his forgiveness in that. We need to prepare ourselves to meet with God. And remember that he deserves the reverence. He deserves that time. He deserves us not to just kind of rush through the Bible reading but actually sit with him and to be in that space, because that's where his presence will be with us. You know, one of the best pieces of advice that I received when I was about to have my first baby was from Pastor Kathy Green at Ride. And she pulled me aside one day and she said, you know, as you get ready for this life-changing event, remember one thing. Give your first fruits to God. And what she meant by that will be, give the best part of my day. There will always be, and she said this, there will always be a washing pile. There will always be dishes to do. They won't go away. They will always be there. But the best part of your day will be gone very quickly. Give it to God. And so I did. I took that advice on board. And, you know, I was living in Ryde at that time and I was involved in a community mothers group, and I'd go along once a week and meet with these mums, and they were lovely ladies and they were fantastic, but there was one common thing that they would always whinge about. Sleep. They weren't getting enough sleep. They were tired. They'd go back to bed after that first feed of the day. I didn't have that problem. It wasn't because I had the perfect baby. I actually think it was because I followed that advice that Kathy gave me. And as I'd do that first feed of the day, sticking back into bed to sleep, put the kettle on, pull out my Bible, and I'd read. Sometimes it was not particularly efficient and I was tired and it was foggy, but I gave that time to God. And I know that by giving those first fruits to him, that God poured his blessing into my world. He gave me wisdom. He gave me energy. And he seemed to amazingly increase time in my day. And I got through the washing and I got through the washing up and all the practicalities of things that had to be done. And I've kept that going over each successive child and throughout those times. And my first fruits of the day has changed. Sometimes it was play school. That was the only time that it was quiet where I could concentrate. You know, sometimes it would be before the kids got up. Currently, my first fruits is about 8:30 when the kids walk out the door for the bus, or, you know, just after I've dropped them off. Like, that is the best part of my day. That is the golden part. and I can sit down and just give that to God. You know, I've discovered, even though I'm not a morning person, that the earlier the better, because the ordinariness of the day will take over. So make Jesus first in your time. Don't let that ordinary or pressing matters get in the way of seeking God first. What is pressing? What is urgent in your world? Because there are some things that are really urgent and really pressing and really important. No, they don't have not. They're not important. They are important. And there was another guy in the Bible who also had very pressing issues, in the form of thousands of people following him, and they were sick of eating manna. And they didn't currently have possession of the land that they were entering, and there was a big city in the way. You know, Joshua, like, that would have been quite a pressing situation. You knew you were coming to the end of the whole scenario, but you just didn't know how it was all going to unfold. And you had the responsibility of these thousands of people and all their livestock and everything else that went with them. And then standing in the middle of the road is a man with a sword. And in Joshua 5, verses 13 to 15, it says, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." You know, at this point, the angel, he wasn't a friend. He wasn't there to help or hinder. He was just there. And it's what Joshua did next that would make the difference to who that person or angel became. And Joshua chose to give him time. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. There's only two places in the Bible where people are told to take off their sandals because they're standing on holy ground: Moses and Joshua. And both of them are, you know, facing different things, the ordinary, and Joshua's facing the pressing. But both of them are asked to step out of those situations and to give God or his angel representative their time, to stop where they are and to consider God. And when we're faced with pressing issues, you know, we can find it so easy just to keep blundering through. We can keep pushing and pushing and, you know, just doing that thing because it consumes us completely. And we think that we won't get through it. We think that we'll run out of time or the work won't get done. It might be an assignment. It might be a deadline. Might be some other urgency that is in our world that we think physically and practically is not possible to get done. We can learn from Joshua. If we take time to meet God first, each day, in each situation even, like, he will give us amazing strategies. He'll give us ideas. And they actually seem to create time in the middle of it when you implement them. You know, Joshua, because he stopped and considered this man on the road and stepped aside, took off his sandals, prepared his heart to meet this commander of the Lord's army, became his friend. He He gave him strategies to defeat a city in 7 days instead of taking weeks or months to do. You know, that's the story of Jericho. And, you know, I kind of think, I wonder, you know, if he didn't stop, that angel probably wouldn't have been a friend. And again, as I go back to uni, and I kind of entered into fourth year, now born again. And I had decisions to make to set things aside in my world. I was actually sick of last-minute assessments. I'd done all-nighters and they're not fun. Not when you have to present the following day on top of the all-nighter. Not good. And so I was sick of those last-minute assessments. I was sick of the late nights. I was sick of the tired mornings. And so I thought, I'm going to shift things around and I'm going to put God first in my day. And on top of that, I'm not going to go to bed later than 10 p.m. That was a challenge. There's a lot of colouring in that can be done after 10 o'clock. If you don't know, I did landscape architecture. There's a lot of colouring in and drawing trees. And so as I progressed through that year, I looked and I found amazing things happened. I achieved better results than I'd ever had before. I completed assessments on time and with no late night study. I even achieved a high distinction in my thesis, which I had not actually done at all for the other 3 years. And that was going to bed before 10 o'clock every night. By giving God my time, he actually seemed to multiply my time in abundance. He increased my effectiveness and my efficiency. Like, it's like he switched my brain into gear and suddenly things that seemed hard to do flowed. And in the middle of this, I even had more time for people. I found that, you know, when we're in the studio, you know, in our studio times, I had time to share with people, to talk with people about him. Like, things just seemed to fill out so much more. And I would have read this and I don't remember it impacting me. I've lost my journals. Well, actually, I had them. I used to type my journals. I remember sitting at my desk every morning and reading and then typing my journal. And actually, it's on a 2.5-inch disc, which is not much use these days. So it is somewhere actually there, but I just can't read it. But on the 21st of May in Oswald Chambers, I would have read this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Immediately we look at these words of Jesus, we find them the most revolutionary statement human ears ever listened to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We argue in exactly the opposite way. Even the most spiritually minded of us, but I must live, I must make so much money, I must be clothed, I must be fed. The great concern of our lives is not the kingdom of God, but how we are to fit ourselves to live. Jesus reverses the order. Get rightly related to God first. Maintain that as the great care of your life and never put the concern of your care on the other things. Take no third thought of your life. Our Lord points out the utter unreasonableness from his standpoint of being so anxious over the means of living. Jesus is not saying that the man who takes thought for nothing is blessed. That man is a fool. Jesus taught that a disciple has to make his relationship to God the dominating concentration of his life and to be carefully careless about everything else in comparison to that. Jesus is saying, don't make the ruling factor of your life what you shall eat, what you shall drink, but be concentrated absolutely on God. Some people are careless over what they eat and drink and they suffer for it. They are careless about what they wear and they look as they have no business to look. They are careless about their earthly affairs and God holds them responsible. Jesus is saying that the great care of life is to put the relationship to God first and then everything else second. It is one of the severest disciplines of the Christian life to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into harmony with the teaching of Jesus in these verses. And even as I read that the other day, I know that still impacts me. You know, Andrew, that communion message was fantastic. As I was sitting there, you know, with my eyes closed, just hearing you recount that, like, why would I not put God first? Why would I not want Jesus to be first in my life? Like, that is when we truly sit there and let that impact our heart, it is unbelievable.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your